My Journey of Faith Radio with your host, Vicki Petz Henderson, physician, writer, speaker, encourager, and lover of God's Word. My Journey of Faith is a place to inspire, equip, and encourage women in their personal walks with Christ. Here's your host, Vicki Petz Henderson.
Welcome to My Journey of Faith Radio. I'm glad you joined me today. I want to introduce you to my guest, Gwen Rutz. Welcome, Gwen.
Hi, everybody.
And you're joining us from where?
From Sealing, Oklahoma, Northwest Oklahoma.
You have to tell us specifically where you're joining us from, though.
I'm joining you from the cry room in my church because I live out in the middle of nowhere and I don't have Wi-Fi, so I had to go to town.
I love it. Well, I met Gwen in North Carolina. She speaks, and she just had a fascinating story, and we just kind of clicked, and she just has a great personality. I'm excited for you to get to hear what she does. But her blog is called Breaking Barriers, Moving Forward. Is that right? I love that. And she has been a lead pastor, and she still fills in. She's been a columnist, but she's definitely a speaker. And you help those who feel called to ministry, right? That's awesome. Well, I want you to tell, first of all, I want you to introduce yourself to our listeners by telling your story about when you were a teenager and you got involved with the band.
Okay. Yeah, I was about 15, I guess. And, well, we had a guest speaker, an evangelist's family. They had a music group, and they called the pastor before. They'd never been to our church before, and they, you know, passing through, and they wanted to know if they could stop and hold a service at our church, and so he agreed to let them do that. They came. They had a 12-year-old daughter, and she sang lead with them, and anyways, they sang Southern gospel music like I grew up on, the Hensons and the Hemphills, you know, and anyways, they had just lost their bass guitar player. And so I play bass guitar in my church. I grew up doing that since I was about 12, I guess. So they asked me if I would play with them. Well, I said, no, I didn't want to do that. I didn't know if I could do it because I wasn't sure what they were going to play or anything. And so my daddy did it. Well, as they were playing, I thought, well, I could do that, you know. And so afterwards, that's what I told him. I said, I could have done that. I would have loved to have played with y'all. And he said, well, let's play. So we played a little bit. And he said, hey, we're going to be doing a youth rally in Fairview, which is a town about 30 minutes from us. And he said, can you come over and play for us tomorrow night? And I said, yeah, that'd be great. And then they turned to my parents and they said, well, can she just go with us? And I mean, what do you mean by that, really? That kind of wasn't a real clear question, I don't think. And they said, no, we want to take her on the road with us. And we didn't even know them. I mean, we'd known these, had seen them for like 2 hours, you know, during a church service. And they wanted me to go with them.
On a tour bus. You're talking about like a bus.
Yeah.
On the road.
They wanted me to go on the road with them. Like I said, I was 15, didn't even know these people. And my parents said, we'll pray about it. That was shocking in itself, you know, that they would even consider letting me go with them. But you know how sometimes you just meet somebody and it's just right and you just really click? You know, that's how my parents must have felt with them. So anyway, we go over the next night on that Monday to Fairview and I play with them. And when the service is all over and we're wrapping up the extension cords and putting the soundboard in the bay of the bus and got it all loaded up, and they said, well, can she go? And my mom and dad looked at each other, and they looked at me and looked at Jerry, and they said, yeah, she can go. And so we got on that, took their bus. I grew up on the chain ranch, and they got the bus back to the ranch and where I lived. And I called my older brother, he has already grown out of the house by then, and I said, I'm leaving. Better come over and say bye. What? You're doing what? My dad's crazy for letting you go.
I have to agree.
I got on the bus with these complete strangers that we'd only known like 24 hours at this point. I just packed a bag and got on the Silver Eagle bus and went off, you know, and there were no cell phones back then, you know. We had, the only way I kept in touch was I'd write letters and then I would also, you know, I would call everyone.
from the payphone, probably.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of back there in the early 80s, I guess, somewhere around there. But so that is, I mean, I started playing bass guitar as a kid, you know, I was about 12 in church. My daddy taught me. And so I always had something to do in church, ministry-wise. And so it just was such a natural flow for ministry for me to go. And I was on the road with them for a couple of years and just learned so much about ministry. Because Jerry was just great about letting us really be a part of ministry. I wasn't just a bass guitarist, you know, or just a vocalist. If I felt like the Lord had laid something on my heart, or he had given me a sermon or anything, if I wanted to say something to the people, he would let us, you know, and we were kids, but we had the freedom to do that. So I really, really grew a lot in ministry.
That is so crazy. And it just makes me wonder how many opportunities we miss because, first of all, you said, I don't think I can do that. You didn't know what was involved, and you didn't know if you were qualified. And then second of all, how many opportunities do we miss because we didn't do what your parents did and say, well, I'll pray about that. And then how many opportunities do we miss because that just doesn't make sense?
I know!
And how many times does God call us to do something that makes absolutely no sense?
Oh, Vicki, I think my whole life doesn't make sense. None of it makes any sense, you know?
Well, I just think about in the Bible when God called, you know, Noah to build an ark when it had never rained. That makes no sense. And then I think about when, you know, when Abraham was called to go and he didn't know where he was going. He didn't even know God. And that makes no sense. And yeah. So it's just a pattern.
He is completely 100% illogical.
But yet God used it.
You just have to stop and think, okay, what did God say about this? It's not what are the pros and cons. And not that we don't do that, because we should look and evaluate a situation, obviously. You should evaluate it. And the Bible talks about seeking wise counsel. We should do that. We should seek out wise counsel from people who've been there, people who know us. And so seek out wise counsel. But really the bottom line is, what did God say? None of that matters in the end. Because when you're making the decision, is this what God wants me to do? That's all that matters, is what did God say? Logic has nothing to do with it, because it doesn't always make sense.
So what did you do about school?
Oh, I homeschooled.
Well, you bus schooled.
Homeschooled. Yeah, I bus schooled, exactly. And, you know, I love school. I loved it. Some people can't stand school. I live for school.
Really?
I love the work. I love homework. I love academics. I love the social part of it. I love everything about school. And so to go away and be pulled completely away from school into bus school, well, I enjoyed that too, though. But I'll say that whenever I got to be, it was the end of my junior year, and I wanted to come home and graduate with all my friends. That was just something that was important to me, and I wanted to do that. I felt strongly about it. So I told their daughter, who was, she was 4 years younger than I, and I told her, I said, okay, I'm going to go home and graduate with my friends, but I'm going to come back. And she said, okay. So whenever I left, was the end of my junior year, came home that summer before my senior year, and the youth group here at our church, our town is about 800 people. But we had a nice-sized youth group here. And anyway, so we had a lot of kids who had come in to the church. You know, they didn't only just go to youth group. They came to church, too, you know. And anyway, a guy that I went to school with, he came to my church. His sisters had come, but anyways, he had just started coming. And so he went down to the altar to give his life to the Lord. And you're going to think this is real stupid or sounds really corny, but when I saw him go forward and give his life to Jesus, I thought, oh, there's somebody I could date. Because I wasn't going to date anybody that wasn't a Christian, you know, so I was like, oh, that's me, you know, so I have something to say. So, not that there was not another Christian boy in my town, I don't know, I'm not going to judge them all, but, you know, I was just thinking, I knew, because I saw that boy give his life to the Lord, and my daddy actually led him to the Lord. So graduated, and I had to call Missy back and say, Missy, I'm not coming back. And she said, and I had told her I had a boyfriend. She said, it's that boy. But, you know, Texas has a plan. And I learned so much with being with them. But then I know it was, you know, God was saying, I have another course for you now. And that led me to my husband then, which, you know, and of course we'd known each other since seventh grade. But
and how long have you been married?
31 years.
Oh, that's awesome. And one of the things you said on your website is that you like daisies because you wanted to be just like your mama.
Yes.
I love that. So tell me a little bit about your mama.
My mama is, she is awesome. She's amazing. She is, now I have more of a personality of my daddy. My daddy, he's a more of a social guy. Like my mom's real quiet and she knows not kind of like into crowds and everything, but she quilts. And she taught me to embroidery when I was little bitty. But she likes pretty things, and she just appreciates pretty things. And she's got she has a lot of mercy and kindness and generosity about her. And I don't know, I always, whatever my parents said, I believed them. And so Mama said, if they thought something was good, I thought it was good. If Mama thought something was pretty, I thought I never liked the color orange until a couple of years ago because my mama didn't like the color orange. So I didn't like the color orange. And then I thought, like, really? I'm not even kidding. Like, a couple of years ago, I bought these orange pillows. I thought, well, you know, orange is not so bad. But Mama never liked it, so I didn't like it. And daisies was always Mama's favorite flower, so that's my favorite flower.
So did you ever go through a period of rebellion where you rejected what you were taught or what your parents believed? No, or
I didn't go through a period of rebellion where I rejected what they thought, but I do remember being in probably later junior high to early high school, somewhere in there, and having to figure it out for myself.
Yes, you have to own it.
I was raised in church my whole life, and like I said, always I believe what they told me to believe because I knew they're the smartest people on the planet.
That's unusual to recognize that in junior high, and I love that your biggest rebellion is buying orange pillows.
Exactly. Oh, get this. Okay, whenever I was on the road with the Watsons, I should tell you their name, Jerry and Phyllis Watson, and so when I was on the road with them, when I was about 16, I saw somebody's hair. I thought, oh, that is real pretty. I just had long, straight hair, really long, straight hair, and I wanted to cut my hair like that. And I called home and asked my mama, do you think it'd be all right if I cut my hair? It wasn't short, but you know how they would feather it on the top.
Oh, yeah, we had to feather the bangs.
Yeah, I had to get me some feathers. So I did. You know, and I called her and asked her about that. And said, yeah. But, you know, I just, but when I was somewhere around that age, I can remember thinking, I got to know this for me. Not just because my parents told me that Jesus was the only way to heaven and that you need to be a Christian, you need to serve God, and you need to have ministry. You know, you got to love God. I was raised to know you got to serve God. But it wasn't that I didn't have any kind of rebellion, really, but I just was asking God, for myself, God, are you real? And let me know and tell me for me, because I can't go on just my parents' belief my whole life. I got to know it for myself. And I was in high school. I can remember sitting on my bed when I was in junior high one time. I don't know what made me feel kind of melancholy or just kind of, I don't know. I turned on the radio and I was listening to some country and western song. And that's when it dawned on me that music can make you feel things.
Yes, it does.
I turned that music on, I listened to it, and I thought, I'm getting depressed. That's making me sad, you know? And I could tell it was the outside factors can affect your emotions and affect how you feel.
And that's a good point. I think sometimes when we feel down, you know, it's so important to get into worship music and music that lifts your eyes up to the Lord and get your focus on Him. And I call it praise therapy is what I call it, because music can be very influential. And, you know, it's interesting you were talking about your owning your own faith, because my daughter is involved in ministry to just some eighth grade girls. And I was talking to the person who was involved in her life when she was in the eighth grade. And she doesn't remember this conversation, but apparently in class they asked her, they said, "Where do you live?" And she told them, and they said, "What's your address?" And she told them, and they said, "Is that your house?" And she said, "Yeah." And they said, "Well, when you go to college, will you live there?" And she said, "I don't know." And they said, "Well, when you get married, will you live there?" And she said, "Well, no." And they said, "So it's not really your house. It's really your parents' house." And she said, "Well, I guess so. You just live there." And she said, "Well, I guess so." And they said, "Your faith has to be the same way. You can't just live in your parents' house. You got to move out and get your own place. You got to have your own faith." And that sounds like that's exactly what happened to you. Well, I know at She Speaks, you know, they say there are writers who speak and speakers who write. And I'm definitely a speaker who writes, and you're a speaker who writes. And in fact, you've got a lot of stuff going on. What kind of groups do you speak to?
Well, any women's event. You know, women's ministries, church events, conferences. That's where I speak. Pastor at a lot of churches. You know, to the congregations of the whole church, not just women's events, but I had this awesome opportunity last year, I guess. I went to Havana, Cuba, and I spoke at a women's conference in Cuba, and that was the most amazing thing of seeing what God is doing in Cuba.
Wow, because the borders of Cuba have only recently opened up, so you must have been one of the first people in to get to speak.
Yeah, we got right in there and spoke at a women's conference and then some house churches, and they are so receptive and hungry for the gospel.
Wow, that is an awesome opportunity. That is really neat. So now you were telling me that you're doing a new thing. You're doing Facebook Live. Now tell us about your Facebook page. What's it called?
I have Gwen Russ as my ministry page. But, you know, I also take people to my profile of Gwen Link Rutt, because I do, I'm just kind of comfortable hanging out there. I have more interaction because you know how Facebook kind of limits you with what you can do and the exposure you get. And I think, I got this great message that people need to hear. Facebook, don't limit me.
I think a lot of people don't understand that. If you are on a business page and you have liked that page and you never interact with it, if you don't share or comment or like, Facebook thinks you're not interested in that and they quit showing it to you. The more traffic a particular post or something gets, the more people Facebook will show it to. And I think a lot of people will see a blog post or they'll see a graphic or they'll just see something and they really like it, but they don't interact with it. And then they quit saying it. I have people all the time that go, "Well, I don't ever see your stuff." And I'm like, "Well, that's because you didn't ever do anything with it." And people don't understand those algorithms that Facebook follows.
It's kind of limiting. And so, although if you do videos, Facebook will put you more to the top and will put you out there a little more. And that's initially why I started doing them. But sometimes I'll have a guest on with me as well when I do. Because I'll do a Tuesday night at 8:00 of an evening. Occasionally I'll do that and I'll have a guest with me and I want their friends to be able to see it. So I generally will do them on my profile as opposed to my page. So the reach is a lot further because their friends see them and they go, "Hey, I wonder what she's doing."
And it's live?
Yeah, live.
Yeah, because you get more priority even. Videos get more priority, but live videos really get a lot of priority.
Yeah.
I don't know if Facebook wants you to just stick your neck out there or what, but there's nothing more real than just hitting that button and going live.
And I don't care. You know, if I mess up or stick my foot in my mouth, it doesn't bother me because I know when we talk to people and have conversations anyway, we can't edit everything we say, you know, it's just the way it is. So it just doesn't bother me. And it doesn't bother me to talk at a camera or, you know, into the computer and not be able to see. I don't know. I'm not bothered by the whole thing. And I would rather have the live interaction. And so at 7:30, Monday through Friday at 7:30 in the morning, I do a scripture verse and then I expound on that and just give people a good thought for the day and kind of set them off in a good direction. And they'll interact with me, and, you know, I always try to acknowledge them because I feel like they took the time to stop and listen. So I'll just say hey to them. I just want to acknowledge them.
So do you have regular people that come every morning?
I do, yes, I do.
And how long do those usually last?
Just 10 to 15 minutes is all.
So just like a morning devotional. Okay, I'm just going to say this to our listeners. Getting up and listening to Gwen read you a scripture is going to be better than any strong cup of coffee you could have. This woman's got some energy, and it would be a great way. I am going to be tuning in because I'm an early riser. I love to get up, and I just think it would be, you have a contagious energy and a contagious joy, and I just think it'd be a great, great way to start the day. So I'm going to be checking that out.
Thank you. And you know, you never know where I'm going to be doing it from. Sometimes I do it from my house in my kitchen. If you see a big silver or stainless, you know, a refrigerator behind me, then I'm at home. Sometimes I'll do it at the gym where I work out. And sometimes I'll go, you know, do a run first and then come back and get there just in time to do my video. Sometimes I'm in the car. You just never know where I'm going to pop up.
So what do you do about Wi-Fi from your house?
Well, see, I do have a little hotspot that I can use. But, you know, I don't have, like, a Wi-Fi that's unlimited. I'm limited with my hotspot. So I just kind of gauge, and that's kind of when I keep them, like, 10 to 15 minutes. So I can kind of gauge the span of that, what I can do over a month's time, you know. So
that is an awesome ministry. I mean, that's just something anybody can do. They can just pull that up and just be there. And what a great way to minister to people.
I love it. And, you know, I think, to me, it's just something real natural to do. And I forget that other people are uncomfortable with it, or other people are uncomfortable with speaking or being on a camera or anything like that. I kind of forget that because if I say I will go to a women's conference, and if I see somebody that I know or want to share their story with my audience, I'll go up to them and say, hey, look, these are my Facebook friends. Let's get on Facebook. Why don't you do this with me? And I'll just pull them on, and they're going, what, you know? And then I'll go, oh, that's really fun. You're going to love it. And I do that to my husband. I've done it too. I've had a missions banquet a couple of months ago, and I thought, you know, my Facebook friends, they need to hear from the director of missions, and they need to hear from our men's ministry guy. And so I was running over there to their table going, hey, I want you to say hi to my friends. And I was telling them, you know, this is what you do, and tell them what your ministry is. And they kind of looked at me like, you are just weird.
Yeah, I forget people are not comfortable with that too, and so I always try to be mindful of that. But this is from a woman who went on the road at age 15 with total strangers on a bus, so it gives you a little bit different perspective. That's awesome. Well, are you doing some writing? Do you still write on your blog?
I do still write on the blog, so I'm really focusing on the book, and I'm writing a book that, for my idea for the title is What Did God Say? And I'm writing on that, and I think I'm just probably a month or two away from having the manuscript finished. And
oh, that's
so
awesome.
That's kind of where my focus is.
Are you going to self-publish that, or are you going to try to get it traditionally published?
I'm not certain, because I had a publisher. I sent, all I had was one chapter of the book, just the first chapter, and she said, just send me what you got. So that's all I got. And so I sent it. And she called me back and she said she wanted to write me a contract on an unfinished manuscript. And I said, well, let me pray about it. Let me just think about it. And about that time, another guy contacted me and he said, hey, I saw what you're doing on Facebook. And, you know, I think your book might be a good fit for this publishing company. So there are some options out there. So I don't know. In my journal, I have a prayer journal where I write down what I'm praying about. And that is in there. You know, God, show me, give me the words for the book, but also show me when and where it's supposed supposed to be published.
Well, I would guess that you would have to consult and say, what does God say about that before you make that decision?
Absolutely, because I don't have a clue about any of that stuff. You know, I just don't. But I know that God does, so I'm not worried about it. I don't feel pressured about it. It's God's thing, not mine.
Yeah, that's what, you know, I self-published one little book. It's on forgiveness. And then I have another book that I'm not going to publish unless it gets traditionally published. And if it does, it does. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But I've told God all along, it's your story. You do with it what you want to. I mean, you can't trust me with it. So just give it to Him. And then you know that it's in the right hands. And you know that what's supposed to happen is going to happen.
That's
right. So, well, I just love your energy. I love your joy. It's contagious. And like I said, I can't wait to check it out. What I will do for our listeners is I will put all the links to where we can find you on social media and on your blog. And that way they can check out your Facebook Live on Tuesday nights at 8. That's Central Time, Standard Time.
Tuesday night. But I do announce it plenty ahead of time so that people know when to jump on.
Okay. And then 7:30 Monday through Friday in the mornings. So just grab your coffee. Now, if you're one of those people that doesn't like to talk to people until you've had your coffee, you need to get up early and have your coffee first.
I get up real early. So I get up, I don't know, anywhere. It could be 3:30, 4, I don't know. It just depends. Whatever. I don't sleep much.
I don't sleep well either. And that probably comes from growing up on a ranch for you. I'm sure you always got up early. Well, it has been such a delight to talk to you today. I really appreciate you being with me. And I, like I said, I just can't wait to check out what you're doing.
Well, it is my pleasure. Seriously, it's my pleasure and my honor, really, to be asked, you know, to be on your podcast and just to have this conversation with you. You're just a joy. And I appreciate you reaching out to me. It encourages me. It really does.
Well, I just pray the Lord blesses you in all you do. Thanks for being with me today.
Thank you.